The rapid progression of the young Eagles defensive line is not based on talent alone. Along with that ability is the instruction received from the coaching staff. Defensive line assistant Eric Chenander tells us why the line has advanced so quickly since the start of the season.
I don't think you can ever say, I got it, you know, as a football team or as a football player, because I don't think you'll ever get it. And if you do, then you're going to stop learning, you'll stop growing. That's kind of a bad thing. But what I think we've seen is we've seen this whole defense kind of grasp this scheme. And I think what you're seeing is the coaching staff that Chip Kelly hired, everybody's a great teacher. These guys are starting to really grasp the techniques that are being taught. They're playing them with more confidence, and I think that's the key. Everybody's using their techniques more confidently each week. These guys are such good teachers. I learn something from these guys every day, so I know the players are learning.
Manning back, steps up, he's hit, down he goes! They've got him near midfield. Peyton Manning has finally been sacked, and this time it was Cedric Thornton who got him.
Cedric Thornton, the number one thing with him is the effort. Effort in the classroom, effort on the video study, effort in practice. He exemplifies what you want in an effort player. He studies the game. He wants to be coached. After practice, he wants to work more. You almost have to settle him down a little bit. Everything that you want, all the intangibles Cedric has.
Manning back. Manning hit. And Manning sacked back at the 35-yard line. It was Fletcher Cox. He's a first-round draft choice who plays like one.
The first thing you notice is Fletcher can be disruptive, you know, in all phases of the game, whether it's the run game, the pass rush. He can play in base personnel. He can play in nickel. But the things you don't see are how well Fletcher diagnoses the game. Very intellectual person, really a smart guy. He understands what the other team is trying to do, but he can really grasp the coaching points that Billy Davis, Jerry Azzanero give him throughout the week so that he can put himself in the best possible position for each play.
Lennon in the shotgun is back one more time. He steps up, he's hit, he's sacked! Back across the 40 by Benny Logan.
Benny Logan, as a football player, very powerful, very violent at the point of attack. And I think right now he's really coming into his own with the first group and feeling comfortable with our scheme. And that's the kind of thing we're seeing out of a young guy in our room. You know, he was quiet at first, trying to soak up all the information, but now he's kind of coming into his own and feeling good with that first group.
Boy, this defensive front for the Philadelphia Eagles are playing outstanding football. Again, for 6 weeks in a row, they haven't given up a touchdown in the first quarter.
It's great to see these young guys play well because I think, you know, in any situation, once you're called to the carpet, once your number's called, are you going to respond or are you not? And I think these guys understand it's always on the line. Whether it's practice, whether it's game, whether it's meeting, you couldn't ask for a better situation than to be with this young group with the new staff, guys that want to learn and want to do things, you know, the way the coach is telling them to do it.
Coming up on Inside the Season, presented by Verizon Wireless, we take a look back at two memorable games between the Cardinals and the Eagles, one remarkable goal line stand, and one man still standing tall despite a broken ankle. Football was more than just a game for number 81, Jason Avant, growing up. It was a way out of a gang-ridden south side of Chicago, a place where, early on, Jason found himself surrounded by people he thought were his family, when his real family was not able to care for him.
This is the untalked about Chicago. In the projects, you have notorious gangs. You have all of those gangs within a short amount of space.
It ain't Wrigley Field up north and all that. No, it's rough on the south side. You can't walk down this block. You can't go to this store. You can't be on this part of the city. It's rough.
You had so many people that didn't have fathers. And what happened is, in order to feel like someone, they fill their void with, you know, becoming friends with gang members, because in the gang they treat you more like family than anybody you meet.
Temptations, you know, drinking, smoking, partying, and all that lead to, you know, that lead to gang banging and all that stuff that's in the streets. It was easy to go that route.
You didn't have time to drink. You were thinking about stuff that you shouldn't be thinking about when you were a little kid. Was my dad going to get locked up? What's going to happen? Am I going to stay with a girlfriend? Or they kick me out? You just don't have time to be a child. my cousin Franchon and my cousin Jermaine were out, and Franchon got shot 3 times. I remember pulling him into our living room, hoping and praying that he didn't get killed. I'm probably one of the only cousins in my family that hadn't been shot. Probably 2 of us, I think, that never been incarcerated. Some of our doings at my grandmother's house on 91st and Laughlin, we were selling drugs out of the house, and they raided our house 2 times. And on the 3rd time, you'll get an eviction. So my grandmother, before they can confiscate my grandmother's house, she sold it. My grandmother was, she was very instrumental to me. She was at times the only person in my life that that cared. And having her there to lay her hands on me at night and say, you know, I believe in you. I believe that you're gonna make it. I believe that you'll be different. And her prayers, and she didn't view it as a problem or burden. She viewed it as a chance to make someone's life better.
He stayed with my mother from 3 months old till his the end of his 4th year of school. And I told my mother, let him come and stay with me and his cousin. And from 5th grade till he left to go to the University of Michigan, he was there.
Me moving to 111th Street, I didn't have the necessary influences. So when I got into the neighborhood, they were into sports heavy. And it kind of shepherded me in the right position because I had some gifts and talents when it came to sports.
The athletic part in them was like coming out. You could tell you wanted to be an athlete. That's all he used to do, play basketball all day.
He loved sports. His first love was the round ball. At Carver, he played basketball and football.
When I got to Carver, my coach told me, he said, you know, you can't play basketball for me. I was a basketball-only person. He said, you can't play basketball for me unless you play football.
When I met Jason was 15. I was trying to find out, you know, really how tough he really was, to be honest with you. So we ran the ball at him so many times that he just quit.
He put me out there at linebacker. I quit the first day because he kept sending the fullback at me, and he was pummeling me. He was destroying me.
Initially, he was in the wrong position, and he wanted to give up. And his father said, you're an Avent. Avents don't quit. And he got the coach, Coach Simpson, to change his position, and he flourished.
Jason, to me, was the best athlete that I've coached in 31 years.
I came to one game, he played the punter, the kicker, the safety, the receiver. Like, he got talent.
And then letters start coming from the University of Illinois, University of Michigan, from University of Wisconsin.
Boxes and boxes and boxes of letters from different colleges. Him and my mom was going on different visits and stuff. You know, that's when I knew, like, all right, yeah, he do got something. He on his way.
After graduating from high school, Avant continued his football career at the University of Michigan. While on the outside, it appeared that he overcame long odds and was fulfilling a dream. It was on the inside where he felt incomplete.
May 4th, 2003, after years of my grandmother praying, after years, let his life be different, the Lord changed my life. And he basically gave me visions, memories of my past. All the times that my house has been shot up on 91st and Laughlin. All the times that I was in bad position, I should have been locked up, pulling my cousin off the streets, how he made a way for me to go to school. Looking at my neighborhood and where I came from. Before then, my mindset wasn't in the best position. I was very fortunate, but then I started to realize why he shielded me from it, so I can tell people about him, tell people about Jesus Christ, and how he can take that little weed that's between a whole bunch of rocks and how it can, you know, sprout up.
Hey, my name is Jason Avant. I want to say thank you guys so very much for coming out. We're going to have a good day today. We're going to have fun. This camp is about you and it's for you, all right? The first thing we're going to do is pray. Everybody take a knee.
It is very tremendous for Jason to come back and give back. And then to come back as a Christian is very important to young men. It's very important to me. It's very important to his family that he haven't forgotten where he came from.
This is what shaped my mentality. And what you guys see on the field on Sundays, this is why it occurs. It's because I know what it's like in real life to have nothing and how you have to fight for it. This has been the hardest part of my life. Growing up here, this was the hardest part of my life. And if you can overcome this, you can overcome pretty much anything that the world has to, you know, to throw at you. I'm not proud of everything that I did in the past, but I'm proud of where I'm from because it takes a tough-minded person in order to make it out of it.
This portion of Inside the Season was brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Download the free Dunkin' mobile app today. Inside the Season is brought to you by Verizon Wireless. For Eagles text alerts from Verizon Wireless, text EAGLES to 82565. NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, download the free Dunkin' mobile app today. And by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Donovan McNabb never dogged it for a moment on the field. He left it all out on the field. And the Cardinal game is perfect evidence of that.
Donovan McNabb, early in the game, the first quarter, breaks his leg.
And he's going to stop and be hit and brought down and sacked. The football comes loose, and McNabb is hurt.
Well, McNabb got twisted like a pretzel, and he was almost doubled over backwards. And you can see the right knee being twisted.
Donovan McNabb comes back in the second half. You could see he was hurting. I remember being told that, and this would never happen in today's world, that he didn't want the x-ray, he would be fine. And then you hear the news that he broke his ankle.
Just shows you the toughness that you have to play with in the National Football League. It shows a lot about Donovan McNabb and the way he played the game. He comes out against the Cardinals, he threw four touchdown passes on a broken leg.
Most NFL quarterbacks are on the sidelines when the injury occurs. Donovan not only stayed in the game, but was incredibly effective. It's probably as good a performance by somebody injured as I can remember in all the years I've watched NFL football.
You know, you talk about goal line stands. Nothing compares with what occurred in October of 1992. Eagles and the Cardinals at the Vet.
Well, back in the day, the Cardinals used to be in the Eagles division, and it seemed like every year, never failed. Even if the Cardinals were horrible, they would always play the Eagles tough. They'd upset an Eagles team that there's no way the Eagles should have lost to them. So you always knew when you saw the schedule come out, the Cardinals. They were like that gnat. They were like that green fly on you on the beach down the shore that you're just kind of swatting off.
Joe Bugle had become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. And Joe Bugle had been the offensive line coach for the Washington Redskins through their glory years under Joe Gibbs. That hard-nosed, tough, smash-mouth kind of football was really what the NFC East was about. It was what the Washington Redskins were about. It was certainly what Joe Bugle was about as a Redskins line coach. And it was that mentality that he wanted to bring to the Arizona Cardinals.
The reason I remember this game so well is because it's known as the Joe Bugle game. They need about a yard, and they try seven times to get the yard.
Here were the Cardinals just outside of the goal line.
We're not talking about the two, three. It was inches. And Joe Bugle, play after play after play, was just slamming it into the middle of the line.
Chandler, this time, gets it off, and they stuck Bailey. They stuck him.
To a point where you just thought, what is he doing? I mean, at least once, you got to fake it and try and roll out. You can maybe got to throw a pass. You got to do something.
There's another third down. What is this, the third and goal?
And I'm at the game, and I keep looking over to the Cardinals sideline. I'm saying, they get it that they're not going to be able to score doing this. They're going to do something different, right?
Each time the Eagles stopped them, you weren't getting nervous. You got more confident. You went, oh, go ahead, keep trying, because you're not getting anywhere.
Here we go, fourth and goal. Hand off Johnny Bailey. Does he make it? No! No!
It was seven times they ran it, seven times they got stopped. They could have run it seven more times, and they wouldn't have scored. It was that kind of day.
Seven times.
Joe Bugle.
This portion of Inside the Season was brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles.
And back we are, Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Merle Reese, Anthony Gargano, and how about a nice welcome for Eagles defensive tackle, Benny Logan. Benny, nice to have you with us tonight. And you are coming off a very, very strong performance. You don't play like a rookie.
I wouldn't say that necessarily. I still consider myself as a rookie going into the season no matter what.
But you look comfortable out there.
Yeah, you just got to be relaxed when you're playing. You can't focus on, you know, making mistakes, because being a rookie or you being a vet, you're going to make mistakes. But something I always told, if you make mistakes, just make sure you make them full speed and just correct your mistakes next week. And so I'm just relaxed out there, comfortable with the guys that I'm around. Cedric Thornton and Fletcher Cox do a good job making me feel comfortable and just making sure, you know, I'm handling my responsibility and just having fun.
Explain to people, because we're a pro town, right? Philadelphia is an NFL pro town. Explain what football means to places like Baton Rouge and Athens, Georgia, and I won't say Tuscaloosa, but
I mean, football means everything down in Louisiana, but just in the SEC. Every week you get your best quality opponent, offensive linemen, running backs, and all. A lot of people compare the SEC to the next level of the NFL. I mean, you don't get no more physical than the SEC. It just shows the kind of talent that we produce down in the SEC. And, you know, guys just ready to work.
Benny Logan, did this bye come at a good time for you? You're tired because you played 11 games plus four preseason games. By now, in your college season, you were just about done. Now, did you need – are you tired right now?
No. I'm not tired at all. Not at all. A lot of people ask me, have I hit my rookie wall? I don't even know what rookie wall is. You know, I'm just embracing every moment, just, you know, just having fun and just enjoying it.
How about the defensive system that you're playing with Bill Davis? How much of an adjustment is that?
It's a great adjustment. First beginning of the season, it was a little shaky, you know, new guys, new system. But once guys start understanding the system, start playing their responsibility, and understanding the defense better, you see – how we come together more and start playing, you know, even better these last past few weeks. And it just shows the coaching staff we have. Coaching staff do a great job getting up ready every day for practice, even for game days. Make sure we have, you know, the right correction, the right scheme, and the things that help us and put us in a good position to dominate.
I got to tell you, I mean, for a young front seven, your gap discipline on this defense is really good.
I mean, give all the credit to Coach Ash. Coach Ash do a great job. It's every day at practice, you know, hitting the sled. Make sure, you know, have great footwork, hand placement, and all. And it carries over to Sunday. It's just not something we do on Sunday. It starts during the week, you know, on Tuesday, and just go on. So I have to give Coach Ash, you know, all the credit, because he does that, you know, make sure we're taking care of those small things to help us be successful on Sunday.
Benny, a lot of success ahead for you. We thank you for visiting us
thank
on
you.
This Monday night. Enjoy the bye. Are you going home?
Yeah, going back to Louisiana. Yes,
okay,
sir.
And you'll be back here for practice next week.
Yes, sir.
So thank you for joining
thank
us
you.
And have a great rest of the season.
Thank you.
The 6th Annual Eagles Blood Drive will take place December 28th at Lincoln Financial Field. Every donor will receive a special Eagles gift and a chance to win a pair of tickets to the 2014 home opener. Make your appointment today.